Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. O Positive supports the health of underinsured artists and musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond through the annual O Positive Festival, where they exchange art making and performances for health and wellness services. Since its inception in 2010, O Positive has facilitated thousands of medical, dental, and wellness treatments for artists, musicians, and creatives in Kingston and across the country. This year, O Positive hired a medical doctor to establish Exchange Wellness PLLC, a year-round, no-cost, exchange-based clinic for artists and musicians. The 2023 O Positive Festival in Kingston, New York is taking place October 6th through the 8th, and we're going to hear all about it now and the other work from throughout the year and going forward from O Positive co-founder Joe Conkra, O Positive co-director of music Laura Hope, and O Positive art director Lindsay Wolkowitz. Welcome back to the show, you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
So happy to be here.
Yeah. I said, as I saw you guys in the green room, I was like, you're my last interview of the week. Let's party in Studio A.
We really believe in big finishes.
Yes. Ended on a high note, yeah.
Absolutely. It's always so great to see you guys and talk about the work you're doing down there. Should we start with hearing about this clinic that you're opening?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Go ahead, Joe.
13 years later, this exchange has now sort of given rise to a year-round clinic, which we're just starting after the festival. So this year's crop of alumni and alumni from the past will be able to go to our year-round clinic, which is also an art gallery in true O Positive fashion. So we've taken over a beautiful space, which is a garage, and sort of made it just feeling like an art gallery and a medical clinic. And we have one doctor we get to start with, which was just exactly how O Positive Festival started 13 years ago. But we've had so many inquiries from other medical professionals, from alumni. And I think the thing that most people don't know because they come to the festival is, yes, there's care during that weekend, but we often navigate all year round with a lot of alumni to help find insurance, help find specific doctors, help get them to a dentist, a lot of mental health requests. So in our clinic, we're going to primarily focus on primary care, mental and dental. And if we can build out from there, you know, we can just keep going.
Yeah. Well, and you've certainly, given your track record, proven that growing is something you're capable of doing. You keep expanding. I mean, I imagine that when you started this 13 years ago, you were hoping there wouldn't be a need anymore for you, but there is, and you're filling it, and it's just, it's very inspiring.
We dream of obsolescence on some level, and that we could just be a party, but in the meantime, you know, we kind of take a, if you build it, they will come approach to the provider piece, knowing that once we have the structure in place and running, that there's a lot of providers that want to be in service.
Lindsay Wolkowitz is the art director of the festival. What have you been getting ready for this year's festival in terms of murals, et cetera? I know that there's one specific muralist has been working.
Oh, yeah. We have it's a special year in that Joe Conkra, who is the co-founder of the festival, but is also a studio artist and very accomplished, did his first large-scale public mural this year, which was really kind of a point of pride for us, pretty special for the community. We also have Jetson Arama, otherwise known as Chip Thomas, who's working in Kingston right now on a really large-scale mural featuring three contemporary African-American poets. And David Puck coming up.
One of whom will be at the festival this year.
Yeah, 100%. Mahogany L. Brown, who's featured in that mural, is also headlining in the church as a spoken word artist, which is really exciting, and is going to be going on before Amethyst Kia, who we just heard before this segment.
Yes, we did. There's Amethyst Kia, the music, coming in this morning. Joe, you seemed embarrassed, chagrined, I don't know, bragging about your mural, but I would like to ask you to talk about it a little.
I was sitting here thinking, I'm so glad this isn't TV, because I turned beet red.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah.
You know, it's very difficult as a founder of the festival to talk about that, right? Like, you don't really want to put yourself out there. So I actually applied this year, and I've been looking at a specific wall with a specific image for about 2 years. And I applied and fortunately was accepted. There was no nepotism. I don't even know what you would call it. But I applied, and it was absolutely wonderful. Lindsay assisted me along with Gaia, who's done multiple murals in Kingston. We had a really good time, and I think it went off really well. People seem to really be enjoying it.
It's beautiful, if I may say that.
Beautiful. You should, yeah.
I think one of the things that's special about our organization is that everyone that's working on our very small team is also representative of the folks that we serve. Mm-hmm. So we are all working artists and musicians and writers. We have all had various struggles with accessing healthcare. And so we understand firsthand what it means to be a working artist and all of the challenges that are implicit in that in terms of accessing the things that you need.
Laura, let's start talking about some of the musicians playing the festival this year. Where do you want to begin? I know it's many, many artists. It looks like it's more than 50
It is
acts.
A lot. Yeah, right before we got on, I said, what are the most amount of artists we've ever had? You said just under 60. So we're about there. We're at about 53, 54. And I remember saying this on air last year, but it still stands true. Like, we're a genre non-specific festival, and we really pride ourselves on there being something for everybody, no matter what you like. If you're into classical or hip hop or punk rock or indie rock, funk, you know, there is something. And at this year, probably a few things for everyone. We're going to have a songwriter stage with a lot of solo and duo artists, headlined by Amber Rubarth and a number of other great artists. In the church, we've got Amethyst Kia headlining on Saturday, who's an old friend of mine. I love the story. She and I met when we were both playing this little teeny coffee shop in Johnson City, Tennessee, where she lives or lived years ago. And, you know, we both played in front of 10 people. Uh-huh. We hit it off and played some shows together after. And then it's just been so amazing to watch her career blow up and see her videos on screens in Times Square. And I'm just thrilled she's coming back to Kingston with her full band.
She's incredible. That voice is unreal.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the past, the festival has had some comedy, and it's nice to bring back a comedy headliner. Years ago, they had Janine Garofalo. This year, we've got Bobcat Goldthwait.
Cool.
And he'll also be headlining in the church on Sunday. But we've got so much different stuff. We've got a 30-woman choir called The Goddess Party with a band that will be Friday night in Old Dutch Church. And then we've got legendary bassist Gail Ann Dorsey right after them. And Carsey Blanton, who I've been loving her for the past couple years, never seen her live. So I'm excited for that. We were joking about it in the car ride here. When you put two women in charge of music, you end up having a lot of women on the bill. And I'm not excited about that.
No, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. How do you work with venues and other businesses in Kingston during the festival to get it all off the ground, get it all moving?
I think that the festival has been kind of a point of pride for the city of Kingston, and we really rely on relationship, similar to the way that we get providers. We go out and we talk to people. We hear from them about what they want to see in the community. We get them involved, whether it's as a sponsor, as a food vendor, as a venue. We find that there's a lot of support for the arts in Kingston, and everybody wants to be a part of not just the party, but the mission.
Let's talk more about the services that might may be available to people at
sure.
the festival, more about the medical and care that they can receive when they're there.
Isn't it funny that you're talking to an artist about medical care?
Yes.
Like, sure, let me tell you about medical
But I
care.
Have been for 13 years, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
You know, everybody will walk, just so everybody knows, you get an email after you're accepted from our clinic providers, from the people who run our clinic, and it's like, do you have any special needs? So there's a lot of special care that goes on that we don't talk about very much because of HIPAA, but when you walk into the clinic, you're greeted by a nurse and then a doctor. So everybody sees primary care. After that, there's a scrolling ongoing menu on a bulletin board that is like, this is what's available right now, this is what's available later. So you will have already seen a dentist, you have already seen a primary care physician, then mental health and mental health conversations can happen, then everything from massage to acupuncture can happen, and then any specialties that are needed, which we'll probably do off-site. And the nice thing about being in such a supportive area as the Hudson Valley is that so many of our providers are local, so we can actually, and so many of our musicians and artists are local, about 75%, that we can then send people during the year, say, okay, you can't do dentistry on the weekend of October 6th or 8th. How's February look?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can begin to, so that's how, to Lindsay's point, our relationships over these years have grown to the point where we can talk about building a year-round clinic. Because we've got providers now that are like, we love this exchange. We love being able to provide our talents for artists and musicians. How can we keep the exchange going year round? And that's how it works. It's been pretty phenomenal. We've done almost 6,000 visits just on the weekend alone over these years.
Yeah, we have over 100 providers in the clinic and then optometrists and dentists that people go to their offices. I also think it's important to state that a lot of people don't know what they have a right to. And so we do navigate a lot of artists and musicians onto Medicaid, for instance, because we talk to them about where they're at and what they need and what they have access to, and help them kind of on those pathways to care.
In addition to all these services that you're both speaking about that are accessible for the artists and musicians that are participating, we also have an entire program of public wellness workshops for everyone that's attending the festival that are not performing. And that ranges in everything. It changes yearly, but yoga and gong baths. There's something this year, I believe, about natural hair dyes. Like, there are so many different types of wellness that, you know, beyond just seeing a doctor in terms of being able, you know, mental health or honing your craft or taking a physical class. We have a workshop for artists and musicians to help them navigate through the music industry. And all of these workshops are accessible with your wristband.
It's fantastic. Who is in charge of organizing that aspect of it? Who brings in those kind of tables or tents or folks?
We have a couple of folks. We have a musician, Allison Young, who's helping us bring in wellness vendors for our expo, which is happening Saturday afternoon, which is a free public event for folks to kind of learn more about what they can access in the Hudson Valley around wellness. And then Teresa Widman, who has been a part of O-Positive for a very long time in various capacities, has returned to the team to organize the public workshop.
Also, and Sarah, if I may add,
of course.
I think one of the most important things people should know is, first of all, artists and musicians have to do, based upon what they make each year, they have to reapply for health care. So that's where there's such a huge gap, right? You don't get one with your job as an independent artist or musician. You have to actually figure it out every January. So that's where the navigation comes in. The other thing that's really important is what Lindsay just alluded to, is it the Health Expo. You know, we have such good partners that are federally qualified health centers like IFH or big medical centers like Westchester, who actually say during the year, like, what do you need from us this year? How can we table? How can we get involved? Because it takes a community to keep a community strong. And the other part about well-being is art and music is so vital to the health of a community. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget about that until it's gone. And then everybody goes, well, what's going on here? Wish we could have this. What happened? Our theater's gone. Our music venues are gone. Our art galleries are gone. And then you lose it. So if you look back through history, the downfalls of most civilizations that were amazing with art and culture, you can see their downfall when art and culture leaves. So if we don't keep people healthy, if we don't do that work, we're in trouble.
Well said.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. A moment with that.
Sorry.
No, serious and somber thought. But it's absolutely the case. Like, I can't, you know, anecdotally, personally, can't count the number of times that I was having the worst day or worst was in the worst mood, and all it took was a concert or even an album listen to just remind me to,
or early,
you know,
COVID.
That everything's gonna be okay. Exactly.
Early COVID, when we were distanced from each other, we all sought out art, music, film online. Our favorite bands went online to provide us with that goodness, that sense of well-being and connectedness that we get through art and music.
You mentioned the health organizations that come to you and say, what can we do throughout the year? It must be, I imagine you're very proud of having built those connections and establishing that these people will come to you.
Yeah, I also think like one thing that we learned early on with the festival was, I remember us saying to the first doctor, his name is actually Dr. R. Chandler, what are you guys getting out of this? And he's like, what do you mean? This is what we do. Like, this is, we want to do this because we want to see a healthy community. And this is such a vital part of it. And, you know, from that day forward, I think we all realized, like, people want to give. People go into medicine to help people, you know, and we have a tendency to forget that because there's so many layers between us and the providers, insurance, staff, whatever it is. You get on a phone
time.
Tree and you're lost. Time,
yeah.
Exactly. So here at O-Positive, our doctors get to spend as much time as they want with one of our musicians. They can spend an hour with them if they'd like, not 8 minutes, not 12 minutes. So that's the connection that becomes vital, because then that connection is the musicians walking down the street in Kingston or Rosendale or Albany or wherever they are, and they see that doctor and they have that connection. And that's what we're establishing.
Right. Providers suffer from the broken healthcare system as much as patients do. And that's something that is made clear to us when we see providers kind of experiencing the joy of giving services at the clinic.
So how do I want you to give guidance to potential attendees of the festival by telling me some of the secret things that you guys enjoy the most since you've been to so many of them and really, really, really know what's going on.
Kickoff parade.
Kickoff parade.
That's how we start the festival every year, with a giant parade that starts in Midtown at the library and ends uptown at one of our stages. And there's our bands and fire breathers and stilt walkers, and anyone can join. And it's just a really joyous way to say, O Positive has started.
Gorgeous.
From an arts perspective, I would say, you know, the murals are visible all year round. And when people think of O Positive art, they often think of the mural program. But in between all of those murals on festival weekend, you'll find dance performance, you'll find spoken word performance, you'll find interactive and participatory art engagement opportunities, installations. And if you bounce from venue to venue, look for art in between.
Mm. Yeah, we have almost 60 murals up now in Kingston, which is amazing. So the mural tours are always really great. That's part of our cycling is a mural tour, which is wonderful. But for me, it's actually getting up and introducing a doctor or a provider and watching a crowd of 800 people scream and yell for the provider. They become rock
like
stars
rock
for the
star,
weekend.
Yeah.
And that is just so heartwarming personally. And every year I wonder why we do this, and I walk through the clinic and like a tear just rolls down my cheek and I'm like, oh yeah, this is it. So
at what point is today the day you're wondering why you do it, or will that be next week when it's closer and you're really fried?
I think that we all feel pretty clear on why we do it. It is a tiring time right now, and we all grind it out all weekend during the festival, but we do take a moment to stand and watch some of the performers and engage with the artists and just observing the public experiencing it as well, and observing the artists connecting with care. It's a very meaningful job to have.
And our festival, you know, we pride ourselves on the fact that it is accessible. We have sliding scale tickets. Anyone from the community, you know, should have no financial boundary to being able to come and enjoy the art and the music.
Lindsay, could you, since you mentioned that the mural project is a lot of people's focus, since it's so large and easy to see and gorgeous, just stunning, adorning the city. But what are some of the other visual art installations or exhibitors that you've curated this year?
For the mural program?
For
other artists. We have an afternoon of contemporary dance on Sunday that I'm really excited about. And that features Christy Funch, who is an international choreographer, as well as two other choreographers, female choreographers, local to the Hudson Valley. We have a healthcare portraits project, which is a combination of interviewing the public about their healthcare experiences and working with a printmaker to create portraits about those experiences and kind of connecting to our bodies through the care that we deserve. We have a community weaving project in the middle of a cemetery. I think that word is definitely something that people should take a moment to go visit and listen to the spoken word artists that we have, all of which are from the Hudson Valley this year, including Richard Buckner, who is a folk hero songwriter that lives in Kingston and is going to be doing a half an hour performance before a music stage this year. Mahogany Brown's not to be missed. I really encourage everyone to take that time and get to the church for her performance on Saturday at 7:30. I love that kind of intersection between all of the different ways that art is expressed at the festival, and being able to move from a music performance, step outside of that venue, engage with an artist, move across that field and engage with a sound bath. That interconnectivity demonstrates our mission. And so I think that we feel really good about this year's lineup, as we do every year. And you could really pick any path to walk during festival weekend and encounter some great surprises.
The 2023 O Positive Festival in Kingston is taking place October 6th through the 8th. opositivefestival.org for more information. We are out of time. Thank you all for being
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable.